You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on January 25th, 2002.
When the first settlers came to America, they found the thickets and woodlots well supplied with grapes. From coast to coast, they encountered dozens of species to which they applied such names as frost grape, fox grape, summer grape, and riverbank grape. The settlers also brought with them the larger, sweeter grapes of their homelands. A majority of these were developed for wine production. By the 1800s, hybridization of European strains with native grapes had produced some hardy varieties. Today, vineyards are found throughout the United States, and winemaking, one of the most ancient of culinary arts, has become a hallmark of agriculture in the Finger Lakes of central New York. I recently met with Michael P. Falcone, Skinny Atlas, who raises grapes. As part of this week's Nature of Things, I'm presenting that interview. Michael, welcome to The Nature of Things.
Thanks, John.
How long have you been raising grapes?
We've been doing this now for almost 4 years. We had our first harvest last year, which was the third year of production.
What is it about the Finger Lakes region that makes grape culture so successful here?
Well, there's a couple of different reasons. Because of the effect of Lake Ontario to our north and the depth and the slopes of the Finger Lakes, it provides for a good deal of frost protection in the wintertime. Because the lakes don't freeze over, you get the warmth from the water, even though it may be, 10 degrees outside, you still get the warmth from the water to protect the grapes on the slopes, which are closest to the water.
Is grape culture a year-round activity?
Well, grape culture is kind of a funny business in that there are periods of time during the year when there's a great deal of activity. But 90% of the year, it's pretty much you just watch the grapes grow. The main activity that you do at this time of year is to make sure that the base of all of the vines has been covered up with earth so that we can avoid frost damage. Then in around about, depends on the weather really, but generally it's about March, you go out and you start to prune back last year's growth and get ready for the spring growth. And once spring comes, you're really just watching out for bud break, making certain that your vines are looking healthy, that the pruning that you did was positive, and that you just start to get those buds to break not too early because of frost. I mean, we have been known to have snow and cold weather snaps in April and May, and so we're always mindful of that. But once they really start to grow, in the beginning part of the summer, you start to train the vines up the trellis, and you'll start to raise the wires on the trellis so that they can be guided upward to reach the light. You want to try to get as much light and air across the whole vine as possible. At that point, you're waiting for your harvest, and harvest comes when it comes. There's no great formula. I mean, you'd really just have to test the grapes and test for sugar and acid, and just once you reach the sugar level that you're looking for, hopefully it'll happen sometime in September, early part of October. And with the harvest season, once it's here, you just pick as much as you can, when you can, with whoever you can find you can tap to help you out.
What is the relative financial reward for fruit and wine grapes?
Well, in our part of the country, where the grape industry has really been very heavily influenced by the jelly and the juice industry, juice grapes or jelly grapes can receive around, it depends on the year, but let's say $200 to $300 per ton, whereas with the varietals, the vinifera that we're using, it can range on the low side from perhaps $900 to $1,400 per ton on the high side.
Where do you market your grapes?
Well, what we've been doing out in Skinny Atlas is selling to other Finger Lakes wineries, although we did sell to a winery down in the Hudson Valley as well. We've kept a small amount to make some cellar wine, I guess, or garage wine, just to test our own skills. But for the most part, we're growing all these to sell to the other Finger Lakes wineries.
Again, I'd like to thank Michael P. Falcone for joining me this morning in The Nature of Things. You may wonder why a teetotaler like me is showing such interest in grape production and winemaking. I hope my introduction to this interview has explained that in part. Another reason, however, is to announce CNE's annual wine taster on Monday, February 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Possibilities, 311 South Franklin Street, Syracuse. John Rasciati of Winebow Incorporated will be explaining and providing samples of wines of Sonoma County, California. This is really an educational program. John does a great job of making it both interesting and informative. If you're interested, contact WRVO or Centers for Nature Education at Baltimore Woods. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.